This afternoon, with God's help, we consider Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Such are the words that the church throughout all ages has, among other precious passages, received as anchors, as beacons of light to shine in our darkness, as helping hands to guide us through this uncertain and dangerous world. Perhaps you have at one point or other committed these words to memory, or simply by virtue of having read and reread and heard them again and again from the lips of other saints who have found them such helpful words, they are deeply rooted and anchored in your soul. But if not, let me commend them to you, because there will be times in which you will find them to be an oasis in the midst of a very dry and troubling time. And in general, brothers and sisters, let us not just read the word, but study the word. And not just study the word, but when we encounter a passage, a text that we know would be profoundly useful for us to have in our minds and in our hearts, that we might bring them back to memory as we are driving down the road, as we are transacting business. Commit it to memory. Commit it to memory. And even as you advance in years and find the exercise harder and harder, and it seems as though your mind is a sieve, nevertheless, do what you can and take what you have already placed there and brush it off. Write them on little cards. Do whatever you need to do, but hide God's word in your heart that you may not sin against him and that you might find consolation, refreshment, and guidance. And you might as well begin with such a precious text as this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is a call that the Lord gives to trust him. It is a call for nothing less than surrender, the total surrender of all our cares and concerns to God as he speaks to us through his word. And the surrender is threatening, as all surrender should be. But there is beyond the threat a great promise of unspeakable good to the safe guidance of the believer through life's dark paths to the very end. Surrender. Sweet surrender. Well, let us first consider this call to surrender, and second, the promise behind the threat. The call to surrender, and second, the promise behind the threat. We are not here given the option of negotiation. We might like to negotiate. We might like to make sure that the balance is at least in some sense level, and that we are not in some significant disadvantage. But God says, no, there are no negotiations here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Surrender What and to whom? Well, our cares and concerns. Have you cares? Certainly you do. Have you concerns? Perhaps even worries. Maybe it's not specific, but maybe it's just kind of a vague, general sense of danger and doom even. But perhaps there is something very specific. Maybe it's someone very specific. Well, whatever it is, whatever that care, whatever that concern is, it is to be given unto the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Whatever you try to wrap your mind around and try to solve, that frustrating Rubik's cube of a problem that never seems to align in just the right way, and just when you think it's all coming together, it shifts. Yes, give that to him. Lay it at his feet. Take it out of the lockbox of your understanding where you think you have solved it. No, give it ultimately to him. Trust. Entrust all these things to him. It is surrender. But surrender to one whose safekeeping is far greater than anything else. You entrust your money to a bank. You assume, and you are not disappointed, that this bank is insured by the FDIC to a very great amount, so that you are not disappointed. But no matter how safe, no matter how secure some of the things in this world are, they are not as half as secure as you would like them to be. But God's care is absolutely sure and certain. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Surrender your cares. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Son, daughter of God, he's not uninterested. He doesn't see your problems and say, oh, those are just such small and insignificant problems. I've got bigger things to attend to. He doesn't do that. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. A sparrow cannot fall from the sky to the ground without your heavenly Father. But how far does this surrender go? Everything. Everything that you have. And don't try to hold on to anything. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We need to preach this to ourselves so many times. Soul, you may say that you trust God, but do you trust him with all of your heart? No. Soul, trust him with all of your heart. You know, somebody who is battling substance abuse, perhaps they hand their keys over to a trusted friend, but the trusted friend knows there's another set. You got to give me that set too. You can't trust yourself, can you? You can't hold back. And so, dear Christian, you've got to give him both sets of keys. You've got to let him have everything. Now, this doesn't This doesn't mean, of course, that you are not to exercise any thought or concern whatsoever. That's clearly not what the Lord is calling us to do. But then in the final analysis, we leave all to God. Everything that I have, I allow Him to handle as it pleases Him, because, as the apostle said, I know whom I have believed, and He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. You know, children, we like to sometimes play these different games, one that involves taking uncooked, unboiled eggs and putting them on a spoon and running from one side of a field to another. Well, it's just a game. But we wouldn't do something that obviously risky with something that is so terribly important. But the Lord is not calling us to some silly game. He's calling us to give and to commit what ultimately matters to us to Him without reservation. Even if that involves for us taking risk, going outside of our comfort zone, doing things that are not, just don't seem natural to us. You know, that's the way it is of following the Lord, the way of obedience. So much of what He calls upon us to do is going against the grain, against the very fiber of who we are. You know, when I was a younger Christian, I don't know why I thought this. You ever have those experiences? Why on earth did I think that way? But at some point in time, I thought, you know, real persecution is where they physically torture you and kill you. But having to flee and go into a different country isn't really that bad. But the older I get, the more I realize just how tethered I become to the place in which God has put me, and how difficult it must be to go, not just to a different state, but to a different land, where there's a different language and a different culture and different mores and all of these different things. And when God calls Abram, leave. Leave everything behind. Well, Lord, where are we going? Is it safe? Is it somewhere that I'm going to be okay with in the end? No. He just trusted the Lord. He gave it to Him. God, You're in control. You're going to provide. If this is Your will, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to trust You. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He's not going to hurt you. Maybe some of your trust problems is because you have been burned in life. Other people have hurt you. Other people have disappointed you. But God is so radically different from all of that. You can trust your deepest cares and concerns to Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now again, the Lord is not saying don't think. Frequently in Scripture, God calls His people to think, to reason. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, you shall be white as snow. Count the cost. No king goes to a battle without counting his soldiers first. No man builds a tower without counting the cost to see if he has the means to build it. So what is God saying here? Don't over-rely upon your understanding. Don't deify, don't exalt your understanding higher than it should be, or use it in a way as though it were going to fix all your problems. Sometimes God doesn't answer and baffles you precisely to teach you that you cannot lean. You cannot put the weight of your soul on your own mental processes to figure out your problems, to secure some solution. You know, faith isn't unreasonable by any stretch of the imagination. It's not. In fact, it's the epitome of reason. But it's an issue of the believing mind saying, I'm going to stop at the stop sign. And if it's not a stop sign, I'm going to yield at the yield sign. And if the sign says one direction, one way, I'm not going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to give it over to God. I'm going to stop where I can't go further. Where God has placed a wall in front of me, I'm not going to force my way through it. And some of you, perhaps even right now, are trying to solve riddles that God doesn't want you to solve. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, this is the way of the flesh. It exalts reason. We will break through. We will build the tower to reach to heaven and make a name for ourselves. And we're drunk on our success here in the West with all our scientific and technological attainments, which, let's just be honest, they're real. But because of sin, it can be so bewitching. Not long ago, I remember reading an article about some hip 20-something who was insanely rich and had achieved great levels of success, and he boasted that through technology, he would find a way to live forever. He was perfectly serious. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Lord, you're in the driver's seat. You're wiser than I am. You are in control. So I can take a deep breath and I can relax. So I can actually go to bed and put my head on my pillow and go to sleep because I wasn't meant to fix all my problems. Acknowledge him in all your ways, deferring to him amid your doubts and misgivings, seeking from him all good things that you need through prayer, thanking him. Thanking him. And you don't just do that once a year at Thanksgiving. Come on, Christian. When you pray, in the balance of things, with all the requests and the prayers for the this and the that, how many items of thanks? Christian, acknowledge him in all your ways. Resigning to him and your trials and afflictions. He knows best. Father knows best. I prayed 3 times for the removal of this thorn, and he's not taking it away. I'm not going to fight him. And don't tell me Paul doesn't have faith. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Openly acknowledge him. Give credit where credit is due. Don't be too afraid to be thought holier than thou. Now, don't be holier than thou, but don't be too afraid to be thought to be holier than thou. Do you believe in God? Well, does anyone else know that you believe in God? Acknowledge him. Honor him. Recognize him. God has given us a new day. What a beautiful day God has made. Oh, you're one of those holy rollers, aren't you? I really don't care what you think. I'm going to acknowledge him. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to help point others to that perfect, sweet surrender because I love them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now we come to the promise behind the threat. Yes, the call is threatening because we want control. We want control. And to a degree, it's natural to want control. But it's this excessiveness that sin, it takes perfectly good and healthy tissue and changes it into a cancer. And we try to overthink and overcontrol and micromanage and eliminate all risks. But following the Lord, Christian, it is risky business. It is threatening. There are no promises that by coming to Jesus, you're going to have a perfectly easy life. You're going to slide on a road of butter. That's not the way it is. There will be many challenges. There will be a cross. But there is a promise behind this. He shall direct thy paths. He's going to lead you. If you let him, if you let him hold your hand, he's the safest guide in these dangerous places. Now you try to go off on your own, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. I recently watched a documentary about a fellow from England who was doing a documentary on the African country of Niger. Now, if you look at where that is, it's smack dab in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Now, he wanted to go through the most desolate region of Niger. So what did he do? Did he just start walking? He would have been dead before sunset. No, he found a reliable native guide who knew exactly what he was doing. And at no point in the journey did he say, you know what, I'm just going to go over there because that looks pretty interesting and not let the guide know. Of course not. That's a recipe for death, to be sure. Well, yes, it is dangerous, and God calls us through a dangerous desert. And he wants us sometimes to go straight through the middle of it. But he says, if you trust me completely, and you don't rely on your own understanding, you defer to me in everything, you read my word, you trust in what I'm saying, I'm going to bring you through. I will direct your paths. I'll bring you, maybe not the way that you wanted to go, maybe not the way that you had all planned out when you were 16 and you said, when I'm 36, I'm going to have this, I'm going to be there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That may all be fine and good. But if you submitted it to God and said, Lord, this is what I want, but your will be done. I will lead you. I will lead you. Oh, friend, this is the safest guide. The safest guide. You are not a reliable guide. And no one else is. There's no one else that you can trust. And there are many voices that are competing right now for you to follow them. You read in Pilgrim's Progress, Mr. Legality. He comes to Christian and he says, oh, you shouldn't go this way. That's too hard. Dear friends, there is a sweetness in this surrender, for there is a most reliable promise behind all that is threatening, all that is fearful, all that is unsettling. Behind this proverb is the reality that we are our own worst enemy. And conversion happens the moment when the Spirit of God opens our eyes and shows us that. How in the world did I get here feeding pigs and wanting to eat what they're eating? This call to surrender is a call to surrender for your own sake. And the rest of the Christian life on a daily basis is one of saying, Lord, I need to surrender again. Lord, I got myself in trouble again this time, but I'm humbling myself again. I'm asking for your forgiveness. I'm receiving your love, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to bring my heart along, even if my heart is kicking and dragging, even if my reason is waving its arms and saying, no, don't go down this road. I'm going to take my heart, I'm going to take my mind, and I'm going to give it over to you. And I'm going to believe that you're going to lead me through, even if everything inside of me is screaming, I can't go there. Trust in him with all your heart. Even if you just don't get it. Even if what you're facing doesn't fit in with conventional wisdom. Even if it isn't scientific. Even if it seems foolish. Just remember, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. We spoke about God being infinite this morning. Well, it was a saying among the theologians, often repeated, between the finite and the infinite, there is no proportion. So you can trust him because he's so much bigger than you. Oh, but I cannot surrender because God and his word seem so far removed from the daily realities of my world, my bills, my pills, my pains, my afflictions, my family, my friends. trust in the Lord with these things as well. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Do you want sanity through all of these things? The problems may not go away immediately, but do you want to be sane? Then trust in him. Oh, but I can't surrender because it means just giving up and doing nothing. I can't do that. I wasn't given a mind to think and a body to work for nothing. But you mistake him. He doesn't want you simply to sit and do nothing, but trust and obey, for there is no other way. Be busy, work, plan, invest, use means in a measure, seek wisdom from others. There is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Don't interpret Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 out of context from the rest of the Proverbs or from the rest of the Bible. So it doesn't mean doing nothing, but it doesn't mean doing well, but Pastor, I cannot surrender because other methods guarantee me of help in a much easier way and in much shorter time. I want shortcuts. I don't get those from God. Oh, Christian, trust God and you'll find that his way is always the shortcut. And that your shortcuts are very, very long. And that all of them are dead ends. Oh, but I cannot surrender. Though I would. Oh, I would surrender. But there's a certain momentum in my mind. I can't stop replaying it again and again and again and again. Well, divert the steam of your anxiety into the steam engine of prayer. Pour out your heart. Lay out your anxieties. Verbalize them to God. But a closing word to those who have not yet surrendered at all. At least not surrendered on God's terms, which is no surrender at all. You may have in your mind made some negotiations, perhaps some bargain with God. But you've not surrendered to him. Oh, this is the true state of man. It's not so much that he cannot, no, he will not surrender. Hear the defiance of the natural man. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Well, Captain, your ship is sinking. And it's taking in water faster than you can pump it out. The rocks are on every side. There is no escaping. But now God comes in his gospel and he comes to fools and he's saying, you've been trying to do it on your own. You've been trying to live on your own terms without submitting to me, without acknowledging me. You've tried to deal with all my chastisements, I've brought them upon you. I was the one trying to get your attention, but you coped. And you didn't see the call for what they were. God's calling you now. He's calling you again. Don't trust in other things. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your righteousness. Don't trust in your wisdom. Lean not to your own understanding. There's no salvation in yourself. There is only ruin. There is only misery. There is only everlasting alienation from God. But surrender and you will see. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Would you be on the path that leads to life? Take his hand. You can trust him. All men are liars, but you can trust him. He's leading you a good way. He would bring you safely through this God-forsaken world and lead you to everlasting happiness. Trust in him. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Please rise. We bless thy name, O God, who gives us infinite wisdom, saving wisdom, wisdom to deliver us from our folly and our ruin, and to bring us safely through all our trials, our temptations, to the shores of heaven. Oh, may we not fight thee, but take thy hand once and again. Look on us now, we ask, in the Redeemer's name. Amen. Let us close by singing from Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 1 to 6, to the tune Catherine, tune number 205. Psalm 37, 1 to 6, to the tune Catherine. For evildoers, fret thou not thyself unquietly, nor do thou envy bear to those that work iniquity. Verses 1 to 6. Please rise to receive the benediction. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.